He looked like if you were playing Skyrim and hit the random generate.
I still like that song. We're not going to use it anymore, but I still do like that song. So anyway, welcome to WrestleCast episode number 59. Boom. Nailed that episode number. That's all I'm saying. Nailed it. I got Heavy Set here. What up, Heavy?
Yo.
Heavy stuck in a motel somewhere in, where is it? Kansas City, Louisiana, somewhere? What?
How do you fuck something up like that?
So quickly?
Illinois.
Gotcha.
Caseyville, Illinois, right outside of fucking St. Louis.
You're stuck, man. What happened? Your truck broke down, right?
Yeah, I'm having problems with the clutch.
Sucks,
to where I can't move, so we had to get it towed and all that kind of shit, and I've been here. That happened Thursday night, and I've been here since Friday.
That sucks. Well, you know, at least you got to go see WrestleMania at a buddy's house.
Yep.
That was cool. That's very cool. I got Katie the First Lady. What up, Katie?
Suplex City, bitch. What's up?
Evidently, I'm in Suplex City, bitches. And I got Biohazard here.
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo. DRG's going to join us later. I think he's taking care of some little one stuff. Format this week's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do each segment as we go. So we're going to talk about WrestleMania, then we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame, then Raw, then the new WWE shows that are coming to WWE Network, emails, and then Best of the Week, and then we're out of here. So WrestleMania, guys, let's go over the picks and just get it done with. Get all the fighting done with early. Therefore, you know, we can talk about each match as we go. So the first match on the card was a pre-show match. It was the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match. Heavy Set, what'd you think about this, man?
I actually missed this when I was going over to a friend's house. He picked me up a little late. It was about half hour, 45 minutes from where I'm at. And by the time I got to his place, literally by the time we turned on the network and everything, it was literally down to Big Show and Damian Sandow or Mizdow in the fucking Battle Royale. I'm like, oh, great. I've missed pretty much everything.
Well, I will say this. The Fatal 4-Way was not that great. It was Jey Uso was hurt, Katie, right?
Yeah, I believe it was him. They took him out pretty early.
Yeah. No, but he was actually legit hurt.
They put him in just to get like that payday, but they didn't want to risk hurting him.
Yeah,
so they took him out.
Yeah, that's why I took him out. What do you think about this match, Katie? It was the Brass Ring Club versus the Matador versus the sort of the Usos versus who's the other ones?
New Day.
New Day. Thank you.
New Day sucks.
Day sucks.
Sucks.
New.
No, it was a good. It was what it was. It was a good match. I mean, the double suplex was cool. Everybody had their moment in there, and
It was really
Cesaro retained.
It was super. It was super sloppy. We were saying on the post show, it was
a lot, a little bit clunky altogether.
The referee lost. Who was actually tagged in at one point? There was so much going on, he couldn't keep track of everybody.
Yeah, everybody was a little confused. I think.
Yeah, I don't know. He lost his way. Kofi. He made Kofi get out when Kofi and Big E just tagged right in front of him and he forgot that or something like that.
Yeah. Natalia's outfit was great. I love Natalia wore.
Yeah, she wore it again the next night on Raw.
Yeah.
Dominati. Yeah.
It might be the background of my phone. It might not be. I'm just saying.
It probably is. Biohazard, what do you think about this match? Brass Ring Club won. We all guessed Brass Ring Club down the line. Cesaro and Tyson Kidd.
I thought the match itself was pretty decent up until the ending, and the ending was just a giant clusterfuck.
It really was. It really was. Though we did like the end because we did get the Brass Ring Club did retain. So. Then it was the Andre Giant Battle Royal. Of course, always it starts out as a clusterfuck. You want to talk about a bio first? You want to talk about how Axel, Wayne picked Wayne picked Axel, and Axel was the first one eliminated?
Oh, well.
How did Axel get eliminated?
Everybody picked him up and threw his ass over.
Yep.
It was the Muhammad Hassan of 2005 Royal Rumble. They just picked him up and threw him out.
Pretty much laid him right in his freaking face, man. It was great.
We're on the road to extreme rules now, then.
Evidently. And then does anyone want to talk about the Battle Royal, really? I mean, it was fun. It just, at the end, when the Miz and Mizd out, was awesome.
That was my pick. I got that one. That was my bonus one. So, yep.
Go ahead and talk about it, Katie.
Big Show. The Big Show won. Whoopee.
Well, I mean, actually,
it
is kind of a big deal for him to win, Katie. He was the first one he's ever won, ever.
I know. I get it. I mean, he's this generation's Andre, and it was cool. But, I mean, nobody was really into this match.
No, that's true.
Really.
That's true.
Other than the whole Miz and Brown breakup.
It's not the people in the match. It's just the match itself. It doesn't flow very well. It doesn't. A lot of it does. I mean, they just stand, like I said, they just stand in the ring, and then they argue, and then they just start beating each other up. It's really randomly weird. It's just, to me, it's just weird. I don't know.
Wasn't really memorable in there. So.
Yeah. Nothing was really memorable at all. It wasn't the worst battle royale, I would say, but it wasn't definitely the best battle royale, I would say. You said you saw the end of it. What'd you think about the end?
It did surprise me, because originally when we turned on the TV and I saw that, I was like, great, Mizdow's going to win, and that's not what I want. And when actually Big Show was the one eliminated him, I'm like, oh, this is actually cool. Like, but my thing with it is, if you're going to win this, please retire soon.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
I have no problem winning as long as he retires the next 2 years.
I'm thinking he's going to.
The Raw After Mania crowd was just chanting, please retire, Adam, last night.
I can tell what they were saying, but they were saying, please retire.
It's a Big Show, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. I like that. That's good. And then we went right into the WrestleMania. WrestleMania technically started with the IC ladder match. And Heavy Set, DRG, and Ant guessed Dean Ambrose. And Wayne and Devil Vamp guessed Bad News Barrett. And it was Daniel Bryan. So Biohazard, Katie the First Lady, and Mop got that one.
Yes.
I will say this, I'll go first on this one. It wasn't the best ladder match I've ever seen. It wasn't even halfway to the best ladder match I've ever seen. I actually didn't like it very much, to be honest with you guys. I thought they could have done a much better ladder match. That's my opinion. Heavy Set, what'd you think about this?
I think you're crazy. It's a fucking ladder match, and it was awesome.
Oh, really? You think so?
I think it's based also the same reason why, you know, there's people like Spanish now say, like, oh, it should be a scramble match. So, well, scramble matches aren't flashy. I've been to them. I've been to the one where there was two mm-hmm. of them. Or no, there were three of them. They're fun, but they're not flashy, and mm-hmm. that's what these do. They're flashy. You have those moments where people running up the ladder, and you're trying to figure out which one's going to be the final end to it. Basically your equivalent of a false finish in a ladder match. That's why I love those matches. And for it to start off the main card, it was perfect.
Yeah, definitely the placement of the match I thought was good. I just didn't care for the match. I thought with all the talk throughout the entire week, those awesome athletes could have just done a better job. And you know, I just I don't know, for some reason it just didn't click with me. It just didn't. I don't know. I definitely liked the Dolph Ziggler. The Dolph Ziggler Eric Rowan match much more than this one.
One-on-one matches are better than your bigger matches sometimes because of that, because it's two people going up a ladder, not multiple people. So you have spots that you want to do with all these people. Mm-hmm. It's harder to coordinate and everything.
I would agree. Katie, what'd you think about this ladder match?
I liked it. I thought it was fun. There were a lot of cool spots. Dean Ambrose took a hell of a bump.
He did.
Through that ladder. And the ending with Brian and Ziggler giving headbutts to each other, like 20 headbutts, was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. It was a good way to start the show.
Yeah, Biohazard.
See, I agree up until the ending. Giving them throwing headbutts, storyline-wise, didn't make sense. Have the guy that has an injured neck and a guy that always has concussions headbutt each other. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, but other than that, the match overall was like, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I did too. I mean,
redone.
DRG's joining us, guys. DRG, what do you think about that IC ladder match?
Right, give me 2 seconds to plug in.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, I'll let DRG do his thing. I don't know. With all the talk, I think I was led up to, I had a high expectation and I really shouldn't have. I really should have just enjoyed the match for what it was. I think that's the main thing that messed me up. That expectation of all, I listened to every interview that all those guys did on the YouTube. I watched WrestleMania, both WrestleMania Today's, any other thing they had on the, I mean, from Friday to Saturday to Sunday, I was pretty much WWE everything. That's all I watched was wrestling. If I wasn't watching something that they produced, I was watching an old pay-per-view, or I was like just playing video games in general. So
WWE 2K15?
No, actually, I was taking a break from wrestling for like 2 hours. I was playing like Rayman or something. DRG, what did you think about the IC ladder match? I don't know if he's here or not. Okay. DRG's fucking me up today. After that, it was Orton and Rollins, right? Yeah, okay. So it was Orton and Rollins. Katie the First Lady and Ant got it wrong. And Heavy Set, DRG, Biohazard, Devil Vamp, Wayne, and Mop all got it right. Orton was the winner with a sickening reversal to the curb stomp.
It was amazing.
Seth went for the curb stomp, jumped way up in the air to curb stomp Randy, went onto Randy's back. Randy gave him a boost in the air. On the way down, Randy caught Seth in an RKO and RKO'd him in the middle of the ring. It was gorgeous.
He didn't give him a boost. He held still like a rock in Seth Rollins's leg strength.
He jumped up himself.
Oh, okay.
He jumped off of him. Okay. Being a former cheerleader, and yeah, you can make fun of me all you want. I know how difficult that is to have that kind of body control, and then for you to explode with your legs to go 12.
Dear, she's killing me today.
I don't remember there being a Dustin in the Spirit Squad.
DG's
killing me. Hey, y'all can make fun of him all you want, but think about it this. He was hanging out with a lot of hot chicks that day.
Nikki, Mikey, yeah. Dustin!
Ziggy! So, Heavy Set, what did you think about the Orton versus Seth Rollins, man? The match?
I think that the beginning of it was dragging because, in my opinion, the ladder match was so intense. Mm-hmm. Crowd was dying down, so it gave them time to regroup, and then towards the end of the match, they built the crowd back up, which is what you should do.
Yeah. Absolutely. I thought this was actually a really good match. It was one of those ones where it maintained the crowd level. I mean, you have to come back down off of a ladder match. You have no choice unless you do it with like another ladder match or whatever. But they maintained that high level of expectations with that match coming right into it, and it was just really, really good, and it was fast paced, a lot of reversals, it was just technical, everything about it. Katie, what'd you think?
Well, first, the fact that it was the second match on the card got me really excited for what would eventually happen later. But the match itself was good. And, like, Orton's become a king at doing, like, two versions of the RKO. A, out of nowhere, and B, doing, like, amazing counters out of everybody's move. It's awesome.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Biohazard?
See, I thought, honestly, in my opinion, that was one of the best RKOs I've seen. Because, yeah, you can compare it to the 450 Splash or the power bomb into the RKO, but this one looked a lot cleaner than most of them have anyway.
It did. I mean, the whole match was really clean compared to, like, you know, ladder matches tend to be a little bit chaotic.
Yeah, they built up slow, and mm-hmm. then by the end, they're fucking countering everything.
Yeah, so I mean, they were telling a legit story.
They told a story in the ring.
Yeah, they were telling a for real story. Mr. DRG driving a car right now? Holy fuck.
Yeah, can you tell?
Yeah, you're killing me. What's going on?
It sounds like MVP's entrance.
What are you doing? Yeah, what are you doing?
I use my blinkers whenever I drive. Fuck you all. Have you not listened to the detour?
What are you doing? That's not what I asked you. What are you doing?
I have a family that requires certain things like cigarettes, but anyways, I've got a family that requires things, so I had to make a trip. Oh, it's killing me. But anyway.
Orton, Seth Rollins.
Hands down, my match of the night. Okay. I called it going in on that episode of The Detour that still hasn't posted, but Vamp will get it up as soon as we're done with this.
It just posted.
Oh, okay. I called that Orton and Rollins was not the match to sleep on because these two could have a wonderful performance, and they exceeded my expectations. Oh, I love that match. That I've watched it 3 times now. It was just really good quality wrestling for me.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back and watch WrestleMania again tomorrow after I get off of work, I think, unless I'm recording Satire. Okay, so let's move in. Right after that, it was Sting versus Triple H, right?
I believe so. It came on very early. I was shocked. Yeah. It was that early.
Yeah, it was Sting versus Triple H. Well, we found out why later, and we'll get into that in a minute. And we all guessed Sting, and we were all wrong. It was Triple H. Every single one of us was Triple H. It was. It was an interesting match. Heavy Set, you and I were around for the Attitude Era, man. Give me your assessment on this match.
Well, the real reason why this match had to be so early wasn't because of what was later in the night. It's just because so many people that were involved in this match had to get to bed at a decent hour on the West Coast time, and the blue light special is only available until a certain time, so they had to get to the right place. So, you know, we had to get these out early. This match should not stand for who won and who lost.
Yeah.
It was the show and the presentation that they gave.
Absolutely.
Of having DX come out and then the NWO and then Shawn Michaels. I was actually, when DX first came out, my first reaction was, oh my God, they're going to have the NWO come out. But the NWO I wanted is not the NWO they gave me, because granted, it's out of the realm of possibility, but I wanted the Wolfpack. Granted, yeah. you have Savage, who's dead, and K-Dog, who is with Lucha, and Luger, who's in a wheelchair. So really, that's all of your main members of the Wolfpack. But I just thought that would have been funnier, because they were actually a part of the group together, but it was basically a way of WCW versus WWE, but doing more of NWO and NWO and WWE. I mean, DX.
DX, yeah, yeah. Which I think set a better precedent than going full on WCW versus WWE. And then it would, at the when DX came out, there was no Shawn Michaels. We were missing Shawn Michaels. And then all of a sudden, he just appeared out of nowhere in the corner.
Knew he would be there. I gut feeling told me somebody's missing. He has to show up.
Of course.
Well, we knew he was there for the weekend. So
yeah.
Well, he gave it away on the Hall of Fame induction whenever he said, "Don't worry, we've got stuff in store for y'all."
Yeah, that too.
Can I rant?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I rant?
Go ahead.
Freaking hated this for a multitude of reasons. First of which is my all-time absolute.
Oh, you shit on Triple H match.
Shut the fuck up with your freaking fandom.
No, he was fucking copying me, DRG. He was copying me.
What fandom?
He's no fandom.
I don't know. I couldn't think of anybody like Dolph Ziggler in a quick enough amount of time.
DRG, what do you want to say?
I seriously really wanted to go cry because my whole childhood got crushed in one simple moment. And it bothered me, like, to my core, because instead of it being the Sting, the vigilante, the person who rises up against tyranny, which is what it looked like they were going to do on Raw, no, let's just make it another WCW versus WWE thing where we do exactly what we did during the freaking invasion and squash all the fucking momentum out of this before we ever get an opportunity to do something of depth. It pissed me off. Because they made it a spectacle of DX versus NWO instead of it being Sting the Vigilante, who was not a part of the NWO. He was part of the Wolfpack, as Heavyset said. It just bothered the ever-living shit out of me.
Which, I mean, was the NWO, technically.
No. Bio, they were the split-up version.
Bio, all, like, pussy feelings aside, the DRG is showing right now. What did you think about the match, Bio?
Let's just say I marked out.
So did I.
Huge fan of NWO. I really didn't, like, I wasn't thinking about it. I was like, oh, fuck, here comes DX. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times with big events, I'll put my, oh shit, they're going to do this and that. Mm-hmm. I'll put that aside just to let it be a surprise. So when NWO came out, I was like, holy fuck. And then they took bumps and didn't get injured. I mean, come on. You got to appreciate that.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash didn't tear his quad. Kevin Nash didn't tear his quad.
I almost thought he did.
Yeah, so did I. Scott Hall took a backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan went into the post and he fell and didn't break his back or something. Yeah. All of DX looks in decent shape except for X-Pac, which nobody's
surprised
looks
about that.
Bad anyway.
Technically, he was part of the NWO. So
I mean, I thought it was an actual pretty decent match. I really did. I thought it was a pretty decent match. It wasn't the best match in the world.
No, it was basically a show match.
It wasn't
supposed to be a technical.
No.
Had New Japan Pro Wrestling match. It was a sports entertainment match.
Can I get my thoughts on it?
Yeah, go ahead, Katie.
All right. The image of DX and NWO was great. The match itself was okay. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I agree with DRG to a point, because Sting did say this is not about avenging WCW, but essentially it was with NWO versus DX. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of people say this is Vince's way of saying we beat WCW again.
It
just confused me because of what Sting said, and then it became this whole different thing. I would have been happy if it was just Sting and Triple H.
I don't think it had anything to do with Vince McMahon saying anything. I think Vince McMahon is smart enough to know that Triple H and Sting can work out what they wanted to work out. Triple H was the one that brought Sting back into the WWE to begin with. He's the one that reached out and talked to him. I don't think it had anything to do with Vince at all, not even a little bit. I think this was what Sting and Triple H worked out to make sure that both of them left the ring looking strong. That's exactly what it was. It was entertaining. Take it for what it is. It wasn't an actual wrestling match. It was an entertainment match. That's what it was.
I think this is one of the occasions that you have to step back for a while.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wait till after WrestleMania 32 and then look at this match and go, okay, has this last year been worth it to where we had Sting lose? Last year, there were so many people that bitched about Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker, but you look at the ride that he went on.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, you look at that and go, okay, that win was very much justified, and the year that we had after it is justified. So we got to the point where Seth Rollins beat him. Well, obviously, we'll get to it later, but to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So let's wait 1 year, and then we get back at WrestleMania 32.
We find out what happens.
Yeah, because Sting had mentioned after Raw, which that segment kind of pissed – I liked it, and then it pissed me off at the same time. But he's going to be back.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be back, which means he had fun. At least that means he had fun.
I wouldn't even say that.
It's just something.
I'm saying there's plans.
Yeah, there is plans. Absolutely. Which means he wants to do something again, which means he enjoyed the time he had. If he didn't like it, if he thought it was just about shitting on him or having bad feelings or whatever, he wouldn't do it again. He wouldn't have showed up at Raw.
The finish of that match was probably decided when he signed.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Let's not like act like, oh, we'll figure out what's going on. No, there was probably some sort of plan involved. There had to have been a plan involved, and it requires him to lose this match.
Yeah, and see Triple H getting beat down the entire time, every time Sting comes out, through almost the entire 6 months he's been hanging around WWE, appearing and reappearing. Sting's been dominant. It hasn't been Triple H. It's been Sting dominant the entire way. So to me, it just kind of makes sense for him to win. Even though we all picked Sting to win, none of us thought Triple H was going to win. We all picked Sting to win.
Can we all just appreciate the fact that I made 10 points on the sledgehammer in that situation?
Fuck can you, shit.
Hold on. Let me speak. All right,
Devil Vamp, let's talk about Triple H for a second.
you're saying that this had nothing to do with Vince McMahon and how he perceives that's the best way to say it. Other promotions talent, right? Okay. Did you watch that whole Kevin Nash acceptance speech and HBK's induction speech? Did you notice that there was a running theme involved in there that basically it was thanks to Vince McMahon because Shawn Michaels brought Vince McMahon, Kevin Nash from a god-awful shitty gimmick in Vinny Vegas, and then they called Kevin Nash the NWO. It had nothing to do with any of the other members. It was Kevin Nash. Had it not been Kevin Nash, there would be no NWO.
We'll get to the Hall of Fame. Wait a minute. We'll get to the Hall of Fame in a minute. That's the segment.
No, but this is the point that you brought up, is that it wasn't Vince McMahon or anything like that with making it WCW as less than WWE. I'm telling you that because this whole thing, including with the Hall of Fame speech, was about people that Vince created because he took the white hot big guy and put strap on him. Yeah. And because he was strapped at the time, whenever he went over to the NWO or to WCW, that's what created the NWO. What created the NWO was five people, not just one guy that Vince McMahon picked, handpicked, because Shawn Michaels brought him to him. Because of things like that, little jabs like that, and little things in the conference call about how Vince McMahon rescued Sting from obscurity and all these other things, it's why it comes across as Vince saying, okay, my shit is the best ever, which it is. I'm not going to say it's not because it's the biggest, but Sting's legacy was living in infamy. And he's not anymore because he lost.
DRG, just enjoy the match for what it was. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Can we stop with the conspiracy theories and all these secret hidden codes everywhere and stuff? I mean, come the fuck on, man.
Hold on, DRG. You want to say that the NWO was created by these five people and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. What was the first domino that fell? No, wait a minute. No, was it Scott Hall or Kevin Nash went over first? It was Scott Hall.
I just contradicted myself.
Hall I thought Nash went first. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, no.
And it was a week. I think it was a week later Nash signed.
Two or 3 weeks later.
I thought it was a week later signed.
It was a week later. Another week he showed up, yeah.
Yeah.
Scott Hall showed up in the denim, vest, yep. And then a week later he showed up with black.
All right, next match. Hold on.
There's one thing that we're not mentioning.
Yeah, what?
That's very, very important. The fucking entrances.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't mention the entrances. But go ahead, Heavy.
Triple H was better. We get it.
Before we started recording, I had made the comment that we have seen this Triple H entrance, special entrance for years, and it's always been the same variety of somewhat king and all this stuff. So it's
they
like
call him
great,
the Skull gonna... King character or whatever they call him. Yeah,
Tony, yeah, whatever. Another Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and then this was Terminator.
But it's been the same variety. There hasn't been a change really in such a long time. It's always that kind of dynamic of I'm the king, here's the throne, and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
This is the first time they stepped outside of that. And the fact that they did, even though it was a special thing because Arnold went in the Hall of Fame and everything going on with Triple H, Arnold and WWE, everything that, fine. But the fact that they did it and how good it was, blew me away.
It was an homage from Hunter to... And
Sting's was terrible.
Sting's wasn't that good. It really wasn't.
Did you guys see that? You know how Arnold Schwarzenegger said, it's time to play the game at the end of the little special video package?
Yeah.
That was done Saturday night. Arnold waited that long, and they were talking for that long before they got him to agree to do it.
That's awesome. I love the whole entrance. I thought that was good. I mean, I didn't understand why Sting had Japanese drums playing.
There was
no reason. There's
no reason.
It took him that long to agree to it, or just took him that long to actually, like, hey.
To come in and film the stuff, because it was agreed upon at the Arnold Classic. But come in to get him to film the cameo or the.
Is it because they needed, like, his leather jacket and his costume from Terminator or something?
No, just to get him to actually come in and record it. It took him that long to do it.
Well, you know.
Till the final hour.
It was done, and it was cool.
Katie, what you liked it, Katie? You like both of them, or you just like the Triple H one?
The Triple H one was better. I felt bad for Sting, because when they panned back to him and they saw the look on his face, I was just like, he kind of trumped him on that one. Because it's not like he was going to drop from the ceiling or a helicopter.
Yeah, no one was going to. Well, the helicopter would have been really cool.
Yeah, but I think he said he's too old to do that at that point. I mean, it wasn't a bad entrance. It's just Triple H just was so much better.
Now, do they pick their own entrances, or I don't know how that's done. Is that
no?
Triple H had to put his input on it and stuff. I imagine they had to put their input on what kind of entrance they would like. Mm-hmm. You know, WrestleMania.
I guarantee you know why Sting got that entrance? Because the last time that Vince McMahon saw anything of Sting was whenever he faced the Great Muta at Clash of the Champions, and he got the entrances mixed up.
Wait a minute. Oh, man. Are you saying Vince McMahon actually watched anything from WCW? Come on.
Yeah, that was back when he had to worry about them.
God, conspiracy theory.
No, all right, to be perfectly honest with you,
okay.
I enjoyed the match as an entertainment match. Very entertaining.
Okay,
I told people on Twitter, anybody that's bitching about NWO versus DX is not a true wrestling fan, and I believe that because it was something that had built over time. My problem is the story that they told is not the story of the vigilante Sting
as I
had hoped.
Gotcha. Okay, got it.
Can
we move on now, please?
No.
Yes, we're moving on. Next.
This is the theme.
No.
Right,
next,
moving on.
Next was Cena versus Rusev, right? I just want to make sure I got all that right?
You don't have a match order in front of you?
No, I don't have a match order in front of me. I have the way we're written it down. I'm just trying to remember from memory.
That's not a way to prepare for your show.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I think it was the
open up Wikipedia
after it, and then the Divas match.
Yeah, it was Cena versus Rusev and then Divas match. And then it was the Stephanie Triple H Rock, and then it was Reigns and Brock. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, yeah. So it was Cena versus Rusev. Rusev came out in a damn tank. We forgot a match.
Taker versus Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but Cena Rusev was first.
Correct.
Yeah. Cena Rusev was first. Yeah, that's what it was. Cena and Rusev. So DRG, what you say? That was a what match?
That Rusev had my favorite entrance of the whole thing. The dude rode in on a freaking tank.
And Lana. Yeah, Lana did high step with Russian guards.
It's freaking a freaking tank. How more badass could you be than one?
Pretty
than
awesome.
Riding
in a fucking tank. If we're going in order, we missed the Divas match.
Oh, Divas match was okay. So we'll talk about Divas match after this. So heavy set, you were big on this one. You've been wanting this to happen for a long time. Cena versus Rusev. Rusev riding your hero riding in a tank. Lana looking gorgeous with her mink around her shoulder and a beautiful, beautiful white dress. Coming down to the ring with Russian soldiers playing drums and stuff. It was really fucking cool. I have to admit it. That was a really cool entrance.
I was happy she was wearing a white dress, so if I Bill Clinton that motherfucker, it wouldn't stain.
So, and then Cena, what was Cena's entrance? Oh, he had the, oh man, he had the thing.
He just had a video package and then just walked out.
Yeah, he had the video package that I was on. I was on
America.
I was on Skype barely with, we were going in and out of Skype the whole night with Ant and Wayne and Kai at Ant's house. And man, did they take a shit on fucking America after that promo. That's all they did was shit on America after that promo.
No, not Ant.
It was horrible, man. No. It was horrible. Anyway, so what'd you guys think of the match? Heavy set?
Obviously, I'm not a fan of the ending. I'd rather have Rusev win, but yep. It's going to be one of those things I need to see where everything's going to go. As a match, I did enjoy it.
Well, Heavy Set, I will say this. You are the only one that picked Rusev. Everyone else picked Cena.
I think Heavy Set really liked it because of the shirt that came out right after.
What was the shirt?
Oh, you didn't see it?
No, I didn't see the shirt.
John Cena's new shirt.
No, I didn't see it. Oh, yeah, with the U.S. title.
With the U.S. title.
That literally
Buy that shirt, too.
That literally came out after, like... After people were leaving WrestleMania, they already had it at the stands.
Of course they
did. There's pictures of it from like that night.
That's so funny.
I thought it was a pretty decent match. It wasn't my favorite match of the night, but it definitely wasn't the worst match of the night. The worst match to me was the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match. That was the worst match of the night. It was. I liked it. I actually liked it. Katie?
Yeah, it was an okay match. I mean, to me, his entrance is more memorable. Coming out, I said it's Rocky IV. If Cena had James Brown singing him out, maybe it would have gotten more better.
Katie, James Brown is dead.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying. If
James Brown.
Just checking. Biohazard.
Ernest the Cat Miller is still alive. They could have got Ernest the Cat Miller to do it.
Yeah.
Biohazard, what did you think about this match?
The match overall was good. The fact that they played a pro-America video and a mostly European crowd didn't make any sense
whatsoever.
It's like going to England and playing it. Nobody's going to give a shit.
No.
They're going to boo the fuck out of it. Yep. And that's when it would happen.
If Obama was there, nobody would care.
Yeah. I would beg to differ with that. It's a worldwide audience.
It's a worldwide audience, yeah.
Well, but you're still in America.
Yeah, I would still say, like we were talking about this on the post-show, WrestleMania post-show. There was probably around an 85%, I would say, American. I'm probably estimating that. And the rest of it was probably the rest of the world. I think that's a good. I think I'm within like 10 points here and there with that.
I don't think that they should have changed the video package at all because
they didn't.
The reason why I'm saying is that it's the story. Uh-huh. If they would have changed it up and been like, oh, well, it's America plus our allied friends over in Europe, hey, it would have been just stupid.
I think it would have been funnier if he came out in like red, white, and blue trunks. I think that would have been a better entrance.
If he came out in trunks at all, it would have been a funnier entrance.
I know.
He could have debuted WrestleMania merch that was in red, white, and blue.
He could have, yeah, I could have.
Besides the one that he had after the match of him, you know, having the title. But
DRG, what did you think about the match?
My favorite part of the match was whenever John Cena said, hey, IWC, you know that whole five moves of doom that you always say I have? Here's another one to add to the list whenever he throws out a freaking springboard stunner.
I know.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. That was. I was like, what the fuck was that? What was that? And Michael Cole was like, that was some... Michael Cole was like, that was a stunner. he was even freaked out a second. It was a cool move. It was a really cool move on his part.
I guess he's trying to be like the Ring of Honor guy, seeing as how Seth Rollins was going to be the champion. He figured he had to throw it back to the ROH days.
Oh, he's doing something. We'll talk about that in Raw in a minute. But and then it was before that match, it was AJ and Paige versus the Bellas. DRG, Wayne, and Mop all pick Bellas. Heavy Set, Biohazard, Katie, Devil Vamp, and Ant all pick AJ and Paige. Heavy Set, what did you think about this match? Did it go well? Did it not go well? Was it expected? What do you think?
It's the only thing that sucked about this match, the fact that it was non-title, and to me, it just didn't mean as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was actually thinking that halfway through. I really was. I was thinking, this is a good match, but it's like, it's a non-title. It's not really that good of a feud right now. They did pump it up with SmackDown, but if they would have done more of those interviews and less of the crappy one-on-one matches they had, I would have liked it a lot more. Yeah. The build-up for this one is probably the least amount, in my opinion. Katie, you're a PayJ crowd. You've drawn pictures of AJ on your Twitter account. Go ahead.
Yes. It was what it was. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it didn't suck. Paige looked great in her new gear, and she got emotional at the end. I could tell it was her first WrestleMania.
Yeah, she did.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And it was what it was. It was a decent match. You know, they got on the card, so that was the important thing.
Yeah, she got emotional on Raw too. She was hugging people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was that was her 1 year anniversary. So yeah, I guess she would get emotional. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Biohazard.
The match was good. All the ladies looked really good that mm-hmm. night. And we can all appreciate the fact that Paige had the Pagan Star on her outfit, on her chest and on the side of her.
Wayne did, I'm sure.
I know. I didn't,
oh my God.
Well, I didn't notice that. And Wayne didn't really talk about her that much, actually.
If you looked at the way the straps were done, I thought at first I was like, oh, it's just the straps. They just did that design. But it's also on her little booty shorts, too, on both sides as well.
I think Wayne is, I think his love for Paige is waning. He hasn't really talked about her that much lately.
But the match
That's a pun.
The match overall was good, and the crowd was really into it too, which was a good thing. At Mania, anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think if it was, honestly, I'd hate to say, but I think if it was more of an American crowd, I think they would have shot on that match. DRG.
You know, I made a comment on Twitter that I was really glad that Kid Inked performed before them, because for once they didn't have the Divas be the piss break of Mania. But unfortunately for me, I didn't watch it.
I got busy
doing other stuff.
That sucks. It's a good match, man. Go back and watch it.
Speaking of that, I did take a piss break during Kidding.
So did
I. Skylar Gray looked good, but like Skylar Gray, okay, it made sense. She was the song for Mania, but then Kidding came out, and I was like, all right.
Ladies, let me tell you out there.
I got sick of that song by the time they performed. I was like, enough already.
Don't get a tattoo on your chest, ladies. Do not get a tattoo on your titties. Save the tatas.
I was every time that fucking package would come on, I just start going, getting. I was like, oh my God.
Go ahead, Heavy. You wanted to say something.
I think this is like her third performance at WrestleMania.
Is it?
Something like that. I know she did the.
Did she do the P. Diddy one? Same. She's the same singer did the P. Diddy song.
I think she did P. Diddy, and I thought she's the same one that did.
Was it I'm going home? I'm coming home. Was it a song?
Yeah, I think she. I think she's in that one. And
that's a
Fuck is?
I don't know about that. That was a MGK. Black girl. MGK.
Machine Gun Kelly.
I don't know about that, but it was crappy. Anyway.
I like Travis Barker better than any of them.
Yeah, I like Travis Barker too.
Who's old as fuck.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And he almost lost his skin in a plane crash.
He was here for a while in the medical center.
Yeah. And then it was the Bray Wyatt versus Undertaker, which we were doing. At this point, we were checking our watches on... Because right after Cena and Rusev, it was Triple H and Stephanie with The Rock. And Triple H and Stephanie came out and started talking smack to WrestleMania crowd. Then The Rock came out. And then Heavy said, tell us what happened. Give us the rundown exactly what happened.
Well, Stephanie told Rock to get out of the ring. Rock was like, okay. And then Stephanie said, like, oh, you won't hit a woman. He jumps out of the ring. As soon as he actually did this, and starts walking around the side of the ring, I go, oh, fuck, because they already showed her. And the party, I was out there like, what? I'm like, he's going to go get fucking Ronda Rousey. And, of course, turns to fucking Ronda Rousey, brings her over the barricade, and starts a confrontation between the four of them. What was it? She kind of hip-tossed. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's...
Like a judo toss.
Yeah. Did that to Triple H, and then... I think Stephanie tried to hit her.
Yeah, Stephanie did try to hit her. Yeah, Stephanie did try to hit her, and then she grabbed her arm and put her in an arm bar or arm lock.
She should have hit Stephanie. God damn it.
Nah, that would have never happened.
I thought she was going to drag her to the ground and just do like regular arm bar, but I guess she didn't afraid to hurt her or something.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, whatever. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the interaction between The Rock and them. Yeah, it's fun. I think Stephanie's taken out that Raw. Triple H doesn't come out very often anymore, especially during Raw. Stephanie was the one taking that main role now, and I wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, Triple H got like a huge bruise on his leg, so maybe he was just resting up.
He did. We were talking about that on the Skype call too. He did have a huge, ginormous, and Sting had one underneath his armpit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a conspiracy theory going around that Triple H and Stephanie might be starting their authority breakup, and that's why you're not seeing Triple H around as much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that's just conspiracy theory.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, what I'm all about. There's also really? One saying that next year's main event, they're going to try to get Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, she tweeted out something. I started following her on Twitter, and she tweeted out something on Twitter about,
just getting
started. Yeah, just getting started or something like that. So
either that or they're going to do Rock Triple H and have them in the corners. Yeah,
yeah. Cause I don't think you can get Rousey there.
Yeah,
as long as she's with UFC and holding that strap that she is, she has to be involved in a very, very little physical form.
You think she has a? You think she has an open contract?
No,
with the UFC? No,
no.
Tighten it.
She appeared.
That's
on...
why the other one was Rock Triple H and have Rousey and Stephanie in their corner.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
I'm surprised that they let her go over the barricade. I'm surprised that.
Me too.
I haven't heard any backlash from UFC or anything. I know they're allowed to do so much stuff. Like, ironically enough, I think it was when TLC came to Cleveland. My friend who fights for UFC, Jessica I, she was telling me that she was supposed to do something similar with WWE. She was supposed to be involved somehow, but I don't know whether it was scrapped or what.
And you know, it's funny that they openly call her the UFC Women's Heavyweight Champion. Openly call her that on WrestleMania.
Bantamweight.
Well, bantam, whatever it is. UFC Women's Champion, they call her, I believe.
That is what they call her, but
yeah. I think that's cool. I think that brings attention to. I think that brings the WWE crowd around, going, "Hey, Ronda Rousey's on my pay per views that I watch. Why wouldn't I watch her on a WWE on a UFC pay per view?"
Can we appreciate her Dragon Ball Z shirt for a minute here?
No.
Yes,
we cannot.
That was awesome.
No, we can't.
It's
no.
over 9,000.
I loved it. I marked out.
You should. Moving on to the Bray Wyatt and Taker match, guys. Bray Wyatt, Taker match. This was probably the biggest letdown of my night.
Bug off.
It was. To me, it was. It was the biggest letdown. Heavy set, DRG, Biohazard, Devil Vamp, and Mop all guessed Bray. We were all wrong. Katie, the First Lady, Wayne, and Ant guessed Taker. They were all right. Taker won in the end. I think it was the bad call that they made. I was pretty upset that Bray lost. I don't think it was a very good match by Taker. I don't think it was a very good match by Bray Wyatt. I don't think either one of them came to really play that night.
Remember what I said earlier about Triple H Sting? It was entertaining.
Oh, you think? Oh,
that's
okay.
Yeah. This is very much entertainment because they were playing the characters. It's not about the match. It was the characters that they were, and the moment that will live throughout Bray Wyatt's career is the moment that he does the
sit up.
Spider walk.
Sit up. Yeah. No one has been able to like budge him while he's doing that. All of a sudden, Undertaker sits up and just he's like lost. Like, oh my god, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
He just slides over to the side. He's like, I'm just kidding.
Just joshing, guys.
That was what that whole match was about, was those pictures that they played on Raw.
Yeah.
Those moments was all that match was about.
Yeah
the match was okay.
I just disagree with it.
I think you might be.
The entrances would have been better if it was full on nighttime, though.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I agree with that, Katie.
I think you're trying to compare previous Undertaker matches at Mania, and we know Bray Wyatt can go. But the problem was Undertaker's getting really old, and Bray Wyatt also sprained his ankle really bad that
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Same
I forgot
too.
About that. Yeah.
So
while I was watching
they
it.
They can't run on 10 cylinders.
Really
yeah.
Tell him match, so.
Yeah, while I was watching it, I totally forgot he sprained his ankle. Really.
They had he had a cast on it the whole time, icing it all the way up until the match. And then once the match happened, they took the cast off and heavily wrapped his foot. And they gave him a pain shot,
probably,
so you didn't feel it during the match.
Yeah, probably like a
which is why
local side or something. Yeah,
I think Taker was glad that he just made it through the match.
I think he was too.
All right, can we discuss how me and Biohazard are freaking geniuses for predicting that they should use the scarecrows in Bray Wyatt's entrance, and it turned out looking amazing.
It did. Those scarecrows are pretty cool.
I tweeted, said Bray Wyatt's doing the new Thriller move.
Did look like a Thriller move.
Yeah, it was really creepy, too.
Go ahead, Heavy.
I liked my reaction better.
What was your reaction?
Scarecrows. Scarecrows? Oh, my God. Scarecrows. Everybody, go get the doctor.
I thought you were going to go with why would they use scarecrows for Bray Wyatt? It would be more exciting for Sting. I thought that was the reaction you were going to go with.
Why would it be?
No, that was
Wayne.
Well, see, here's the
Sting's
thing.
A crow.
DRG's trying to bring up what I said earlier, but he also needs to remember that I'm going to bring up what he said earlier too, and that's there's only two things that come from Texas: steers and queers. And I've met DRG, and he doesn't have fucking horns.
Hey, just so you know, I never said that. That was from a movie called An Officer and a Gentleman. But I guess if I look like Richard Gere, maybe I can have a gerbil or two.
Oh, because what you said earlier, you said Ohio was gay. So I was playing
all right,
with that.
All right.
You're from Texas.
All right. Calm down, guys. Calm down.
We are pretty calm. Actually, if you listen to our voice, we are pretty calm. You're the one getting riled up because we're taking too long.
You
want to move on.
He's getting rowdy.
Do you got to get up at 4 o'clock again?
No, I don't. This is not interesting. I'm just saying. Brock versus
you're not interesting.
Reigns. Everyone said Reigns. Everyone was wrong.
I still got your 5 points. Cash in.
Almost everybody said cash in except for Mop and Heavy. Neither Mop nor Heavy.
And I was going to risk everything.
You should have. You should.
And when it happened, I was like, motherfucker. I would have fucking won because I would have risked everything.
Yep. Yeah. So just to wrap this. Oh, wait. What did you guys think about the match overall? Heavy
I
set.
Loved it.
Suplex City, bitch.
Suplex City, bitch. All right. Katie?
I do love how the fact that he just happened to say Suplex City, bitch, in the match, and it became a chant on Raw.
Oh, yeah. Chant on Raw, Twitter feed, probably trending.
Barbershop Window released a t-shirt that says Suplex City, bitch.
There you go, Katie.
And there's another one that says Welcome to Suplex City.
Roman Reigns took, I think, a really good ass-kicking.
Does anybody see Roman Reigns going back into the main event after this?
Yes.
Okay. I think
he's going to feud with Rollins.
Okay. All right. Anybody want to say anything else about the match before we go, before we wrap this up and move into something else?
How good did Roman Reigns look? For everybody that was so skeptical and saying that he's not ready, he can't compete at that level, he took that ass whooping and also looked solid using only his 3 moves of doom. The facial marks on Lesnar told that story immensely.
Yeah,
it was great.
Lesnar broke skin the hard way, dude. He had staples in his forehead on Raw. Mm-hmm.
It did an excellent job of putting Roman Reigns over as a badass, which was the whole point of this match.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Paul Heyman counting the suplexes was awesome.
He was awesome. All right, guys, wrap it up. Heavy Set got 3 points. He went into he went into WrestleMania with 46. That gives him 49. DRG got, I didn't write these down. I should have. 1, 2, 3.
Wow.
5 points. I wrote the math down. 5 points. He started at 53. He went to 58.
Plus 2 for a risk.
That was your 5 points.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine.
you're about as good at podcast hosts as Finn Fish.
You only excuse
me? Oh, you motherfucker. I swear to God, I will castrate you.
I was about to say, you better not be talking to me, motherfucker.
No, I'm talking to freaking Heavy Set for that.
No,
dude.
I was talking to Heavy Set, too.
That's like spitting on.
There's some fighting words right there, son. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 biohazard plus 15. On his bonus, he got 20 points, which gives him 52. Woo-hoo. Katie, the first lady, actually tied the overall pay-per-view without bonuses. She tied it. She tied with Biohazard. Both of them got the same amount right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Plus, she got another 5 on the bonuses, so she got plus 10. That took her from 33 to 43. Wayne is a baker, get 1, 2, 3, 4, plus 5 with the money in the bank. That gives him plus 9. It goes from 59 to 68. Mop got 1, 2, 3, 4. He went from 4 to 8. DRG's hurt. He's crushed. He's crushed, Heavy. Check the chat. Ant went from 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 plus 1 on a Seth Rollins cash in. So that's 5. Ant went from 6 to 8, but that's because he also got minus 3 on a Sheamus Sheamus fucks Brian. 1 point Lana assists Cena, and 1 point they both go to hell, which means
they both go to hell.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt and Taker both go to hell. I don't know why he took the 1 point on that. So he only got plus two on that one, so he got an eight on that one. And
so they tied.
DV, yeah, they tied. Yep, Mop and Ant are tied for the year. DV got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 plus five is nine. So I went from 39 to 48. So our winner.
Hold on. What? Before we announce the winner, can we appreciate the fact I went from dead last to third?
Yeah, we can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can we appreciate the fact that if it wasn't for Wayne cheating, I would have won this thing?
Shut up, Finn.
All right.
Heavy, I swear to God, you freaking want to beat dad that is super.
Going. This is our final. This was it. WrestleMania was it. We'll start again at the new Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Number one. Oh, my God. I can't believe he won. Wayne is a Baker won the number one spot with 68 points.
I'm not on the show anymore.
With 68 points. Wow. Katie's going to hear about that later. DRG is number two with 58 points.
Congratulations, I was proud of that. It was all cheating. That's the only way that I got to second place was by cheating.
Yeah, I know. Biohazard King coming in way from the pack, way back from the pack.
I came from the bottom.
From the bottom of the bottom and got third with 52 points. Heavyset was fourth with 49. DV was fifth with 48. Katie was sixth for 43. And Mop and Ant tied on seventh with 8 points each.
Mop's going to be so sad.
I know. He's going to be pissed. So there you go. We're going to have more rules posted on the DSJMP homepage as soon as I come up with them and make them up from the top of my head or get the input from these fine people
Did anybody keep track of these in a spreadsheet so we could see our percentages?
No.
I'm just wondering because I'm pretty sure I had like a 25% overall pick ratio.
No. Oh, you want each pay-per-view tracked?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can start doing that.
Yeah, we should definitely do that.
We'll talk about that after this. Okay. Holy shit. All right. Done with WrestleMania. Fucking hell. That's an hour. Hall of Fame, guys.
Half of it.
I know. Hall of Fame, guys. What do we think about the Hall of Fame? Anybody want to take anything out of it? Anybody want to talk about it? Heavy set. You have an open forum to talk about the Hall of Fame.
Whoa!
Yeah. The Bushwhackers stole the show.
They did steal the show. I would 100% agree with that.
I like the fact that, if I remember correctly, didn't they do it right after the Connor thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Which is, it was the perfect placement for it because Connor, I was bawling like a motherfucker. And then they did Bushwhackers and it livened the mood back up. And I really enjoyed that.
All right. Anybody speak who didn't cry during Connor's induction?
I didn't cry during it, but that's because I had ran out of tears already.
Oh.
Dude, Rikishi's speech was amazing.
Oh, I didn't like Rikishi's speech.
Scotty Too Hotty hates it.
Yeah.
Can we mention the Usos? Their
induction was great.
Exactly. The whole, like, this put us through college.
Yeah.
I think his actual ass was on the screen.
Yes. Yeah. This bought Christmas presents. This bought a house.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
I loved it. I think my favorite overall was Medusa, though.
Medusa's was really good.
Dude, she almost
came looked good
top.
Too. She looked really
she
good.
She did almost come over the top.
Mm-hmm.
She looked pretty good. Heavy. What'd you say, Heavy?
No, I just said, mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, Medusa's was really good. I would say Larry Zbyszko's was probably the worst.
The thing I remember with Medusa, I just picture Heavy going, I told you about the belt.
Larry Zbyszko's was probably the worst, I think. Heavy and I were talking about almost the entire Hall of Fame on GroupMe together. So
he got overwhelmed, but he was happy.
He did. He did. He repeated himself a lot, and
you could tell he was a guy that he's like, oh, I've been talking forever. You know, this will be nothing. He goes out there
I'm
and then halfway through it. Without notes or anything, completely fucks it up, and he's kind of like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, I don't know what to say after this. Yeah,
I get why people might think it was the worst or the weakest of all, but in all honesty, I've heard the story of Bruno versus Larry Zbyszko for a long time, but that's the first time I've actually heard it told by Bruno and Larry. And his "This is all a dream" theme was amazing.
Yeah,
no.
I like the whole idea of the speech. It just wasn't, as
he
I paused.
He should have had some bullet points.
Yes, he should have some. Exactly. Thank you, Bobby. He should have had something like written down on a little piece of paper or something like that. Some bullet points, because you never know.
iPad. That was awesome.
He never expected to be. I don't think he ever expected to be inducted into the Hall of Fame at all. I don't think he ever did, because
You still get notified about it, and you still have there's preparation time.
But like he said, he'd been doing this. Like you said, he's been doing this for years, and he thought he could do it. He just lost. He just got lost in the moment. You know, it happens.
Exactly.
Anyone want to talk about anything else about the Hall of Fame? I mean, other than Connor. Connor was awesome. His dad was super nervous.
I'll just say one thing. I like Daniel Bryan's part.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That made me tear up.
I think the fact that he brought up the whole father and son bond, I think made him think about his father, because he lost his father around the same time as well.
I would agree, Katie. Yeah.
As much as I love the whole Connor story, I had higher expectations for his dad's speech. And I don't know if it was nerves or the fact of he's just not a public speaker, and not everybody is. I'm a guy, I could go out there and I'd have fun with those kind of moments.
Oh yeah, you would.
But you could tell a guy like that, he is probably a little bit more reserved, and you know that was a big thing for him. So what sucks is the fact that he's not a big public speaker really like took away from that speech from me. But he had a great save of having his other son come out and say, you know, I love you, Connor.
Yeah. That
was it. That's what tipped Bio over.
The whole time I was like, oh, this is nice. I love the speech. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'm not going to cry.
Not going to cry.
And then he goes, I love you, Connor. And I was like, oh, my God.
Bio lost it at that point. He's
gone. Statue is awesome. I like the statue.
Yeah, the statue was really cool too. I just want to talk about the asshole in the fucking arena. Yes. God damn it, man! I was so mad. I was texting Heavy and GroupMe and Bio. I was like, "Oh, this motherfucker! I'm gonna fucking find this bitch and punch him in the face. He's talking fucking shit during fucking." And then the greatest thing about it is you had multiple people on Twitter, including Jericho, say this guy needs to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In case you guys didn't hear it,
just one person.
Oh, it was more than one. I thought it was just one guy.
There was one guy that was doing the what, but multiple times throughout the night they were interrupting or they were doing stuff at inappropriate time. And that was one of the things when Jericho put that tweet out, I responded to him and I said, is this an argument for there to be no fans allowed to the WWE Hall of Fame? I would love to go to one, but if I'm going to have to be associated with a person that is that big of a freaking douchebag, I will wave my hat happily and say, you know what, make this an inclusive thing only to wrestlers.
Yeah, I mean, I see the good points and the bad points in that. I think it's awesome when some of the chants are really awesome. Like any of the thank you chants for the older guys, any of the respectful chants, especially for like Bruno and stuff like that. Any of those chants I'm really down for. But don't fucking say what to somebody that's being inducted. It's their fucking time. Shut the fuck up. You're not the fucking center of the world, goddammit. Shut the fuck up.
Don't boo Roman Reigns when somebody like Rikishi acknowledges the fact that his family lineage. It's not because you like or don't like Roman. It's family.
And I'm on the fence on that one. I really am on the fence on that one. Because
That's bullshit. It's just because you hate Roman Reigns, you asshole.
Yeah.
I don't hate Roman Reigns.
It needs to be one of the, because the Hall of Fame, it's not about fandom.
It's not.
It is to a point. It's to honor. Yeah. But it's not about loving or hating. It's that positive side of we're here to honor. We're all here and, you know, to honor these people that brought us great memories. And even some of these wrestlers grew up watching these wrestlers now get inducted. They want to honor them, and fans should be the same way.
I agree. And I could just see this drunk asshole redneck fucker in the crowd drunk because they
probably was British. It was just like Wayne and Ant. He wasn't redneck.
Don't take offense, DRG. Calm down, DRG. I wasn't addressing it to you.
Cockney, damn it.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, I could just picture a drunk guy in the crowd screaming what because then looking over his buddies going, that's funny, isn't it? No, it's not fucking funny. Shut up. It's not funny. Shut the fuck up.
And he was like, ha-ha-ha, fuck off, cunt.
Fuck off, you cunt. That's all. America's stupid. Anybody else want to say anything about who they think is going to go in next year or any other thoughts about the Hall of Fame?
Okay, say it right now. Sting and Undertaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they both can do
it. Rick Rude won. Medusa mentioned Rick Rude should definitely go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He wasn't the only. She wasn't the only one that mentioned. There was like a couple other people that mentioned him too.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. There was somebody. Lenny Poffo mentioned Rick Rude.
I can't even. Oh, it was even before that. But fucking Alundra Blaze's speech was just riddled with dead people.
It was riddled with dead people. It absolutely like
she,
was.
She mentioned a lot of people that she was in WWE with.
Mm-hmm.
Bertha Faye, Luna Vachon, they're both dead.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there's only one other person in her WWE run that she really feuded with, and that was Bull Nakano, and she's still alive.
Yeah, most of her people were dead.
That he would be a future Hall of Famer. I thought that was a pretty cool shout out.
I thought it was cool too.
I mean, DDP, it's true though.
It is true.
I mean, oh yeah.
I mean, just for the amount of people that he's touched lives of and that he's helped, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Fuck's sake.
Whereas Macho went in for the amount of people that he touched.
Yeah.
Do you think they wait for DDP until they're in like the Atlanta market again?
Well, according to WWE, it's never going to happen like that. WWE said a while back that they're not, which they contradict themselves going into the past, but right around WrestleMania 27 or 28, they said they're not going to go to cities twice for WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they've repeated in the past, which they didn't acknowledge, but they're like, oh, yeah, WrestleMania only comes to these places one time only. No, it's like, okay, let's forget New York was 3 years. Madison Square Garden was 3 years.
Yeah. They're going to have to go around, too, because there's only so many big cities in America that can support that.
I didn't necessarily mean shit. Atlanta itself, just that Atlanta market area.
That's it. And where else in Georgia are they going
to
go?
They don't have to go to Georgia. They could go anywhere close.
Gainesville?
They're not going to go to Alabama.
They're not going to AJ Styles' home, sorry.
They're going to Gainesville.
They could do, I don't know if they could do Charlotte.
Oh, yeah, they could do Charlotte. Yeah, yeah. Charlotte's big enough. Charlotte's definitely big enough.
I'd love to do Charlotte.
Woo! Charlotte's big enough. All right, guys, moving into the next segment. Let's move into Raw.
Nobody caught that?
Yeah, I got it. I was just trying to ignore it because it was not that
her
funny.
Tap out commercial just, is what puts it over for me.
Just kind of like when CM Punk was dating Beth Phoenix and he said, I love being in Phoenix.
Charlotte looks great on that fucking tap out commercial. I love that shit. Anyway, keep toss or improve about Raw, guys. Keep toss or improve about Raw. Heavy set, go first.
Okay, I want to toss AJ Lee wearing that fucking shirt.
Why? Really?
Wait. Do you mean toss or toss?
He didn't say while wearing that shirt.
That's true.
Toss or wearing that shirt.
Why? Just... Why?
Because
that's showing love and respect to Bayley.
No. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. It's not about that. You are giving false hope to that crowd of all crowds.
Oh, okay. So you took it as a.
You know, you go out there and you're because immediately we want Bayley. Really? Just because she's wearing a fucking shirt.
She was there too, which sucks even more.
Well, that's why you're giving them false hope. Granted, they can be friends, and you know it's cool to wear somebody else's T-shirt, but in front of the Raw after WrestleMania crowd, they are the ones that are going to eat it up.
Yeah.
They're going to chat it, chant about it, and go crazy. And we want Bayley. It's going to become Paige 2.0.
She didn't. You didn't see CM Punk wearing a Cesaro shirt the night after Mania.
Okay, well that's your toss. What's your improve?
I would say the ending.
Keep improve was your ending. Yeah, yeah. You got mine. I would agree.
Because this is the first ending that it just, I mean, granted, it's just maybe just how everything worked out.
It just fell flat.
Yeah, we didn't have like this like last minute moment where it's just like, oh my God, like that would have been the moment for like Seth Rollins to cash in or for Brock Lesnar to get fired or just something or somebody coming back. I don't know. But when they went into the WWE Network, which is, I think I mentioned earlier, I was in mixed emotions about, and there was Sting, I'm like, oh, maybe they're going to tease Sting and Undertaker.
That would be cool.
That's what I was
thinking, okay, you throw it on the WWE Network, you now go, okay, you know those great moments of Raw that we give you at the end of WrestleMania? Well, the Brawl after WrestleMania?
Yep.
We are now going to take that moment, we're going to put it on the WWE Network, so you're going to want to go and you're going to want to watch it.
I agree.
So I was hoping at some point the lights would go out, and Undertaker would come out.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree.
But instead, we got Bo Dallas. I love Bo Dallas. But that is not what
just
I wanted.
Believe, no, no,
no! Don't do it, Stick! Don't do it.
Well, I do think it was cool that Bray Wyatt was within the ring with Undertaker the night before, and then his brother was in the ring with Sting the following night.
Nah, that's a good point, Katie.
And then Sting and Undertaker were talking at the airport.
That's just funny.
There's your rumor for the match there.
There you go. Biohazard, keep toss or improve?
I want to improve on the crowd.
Crowd for
just
what?
Just during the Diva.
For Raw?
Just during the Diva segment. Yeah. We know they're going to be ruckus, and a lot of the chants were funny or
good.
Friggin' John Cena, they're singing John Cena sucks to his theme
John
song.
John Cena sucks. I loved it.
That
loved
was funny
it.
As
they
shit.
Even sang it without the fuck. They even sang it without the fucking music.
It reminds me of Kurt Angle.
Yeah, and when then
you suck. That,
and
I
then they had
that.
The they had the Suplex City bitch, Suplex City bitch.
But when you're chanting you suck Cena to Nikki and you suck Brian to Brie and
is that
you
what they
suck
were,
Punk to,
I couldn't understand what they were saying
they were,
to them.
They were saying that they suck them and it, that's just
and to Paige it was please suck us.
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was,
that's
it's
awesome.
Just, that was the one time I was like, I know they're going to be crazy, but that's taking it a little
too
far.
It's disrespectful. I get it. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. I get it. I mean, I'm all for a crowd voicing their opinion, especially that crowd. That crowd always makes me excited. And you know, whatever crowd after that usually tries to match that one. They can never do it, but they usually try to.
It's
so,
usually the month leading up to Extreme Rules is all those crowds try to.
Yeah, we try
they come
to. Yeah,
Charleston. Or
exactly.
Whatever.
They try to keep that momentum going with all the crowds. It kind of doesn't work, but it.
They need
to me, it
in,
makes to me it makes need, Raw good.
They need to stick in big markets right after Mania.
Yeah,
because they go to somebody like Charleston or. Anywhere in the South Carolina area or
anywhere
small
South
towns,
Carolina.
They just no, like,
yeah, it doesn't work.
Most
it
of them couldn't
work,
afford
yeah.
to watch WrestleMania, yeah. let alone $9.99.
Yeah.
So it's
and I don't know, but yeah, when I totally agree. Saying that shit to divas is just it's just sexist and it's just fucked
it's
up.
like DRG was saying, it's you can't have give divas a chance and then. Chant that they're sucking their boyfriends. It's kind of like,
yeah,
really?
It's just fucked up.
You were the ones thought, complaining about Divas not getting time.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought I said that.
Yeah, I was excited.
Was it
that
you?
Was heavy.
My
yeah.
bad.
Okay. Anyway, what do you want to keep or toss?
I want to keep Brock Lesnar F5ing and destroying the commentary team. God damn.
No.
He F5'd Michael Cole and flipped the table on JBL and Booker T.
It was awesome.
He did what I've been wanting to do for months now.
It's all about a revenge for you.
I might buy a Brock Lesnar shirt now because that,
not that stupid beast
give him
one, right?
Give him a little percentage in his pocket because my God, fucking! If you're commentating to wrestling matches, I get you're gonna bicker a little bit because you have different opinions. Like we bicker all the time, but the fact that you're fighting, not even you're full blown calling each other dick fuck, whatever they call each other, JBL's an idiot. It's just
Michael.
Ridiculous.
Michael.
Oh,
my God. Oh, hell no.
Michael.
Trizzle.
Michael, don't question me, Michael. Well, telling you right
yeah,
now, don't
get,
question
I get
me,
what
Michael.
They're trying to do, add to the story, but you can do it by not fighting each other.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And the fact that Brock Lesnar destroyed them, oh, my God.
All right. Katie, keep toss or improve.
Okay. My improve. Okay, I'm glad Sheamus is back as a heel. He looked like a badass. Well, until... His hair.
He reminded me of Shark
Boy. His hair looks like if the Red Rooster drank milk with steroids in it.
he reminded me of Shark Boy. I was expecting
ridiculous.
Him to give me a scale, yeah.
He looks ridiculous. He should shave the whole thing. It's not as if we're going to confuse him with Eric Rowan. Okay?
Might.
Even at that, he had the beads in the beard, so that made him stand out.
I'm going to be straight up with you guys. I kind of dig it.
I like the mohawk.
I do.
I hate the beads.
You hate the beads and the beard?
That's the part where I'm just like, that's where you look weird to me.
He looked like if you were playing Skyrim and hit the random generate button.
Oh, Ant's going to love that joke, Bio. Ant's going to love that joke right there. That is a fantastic joke, buddy. Oh, my God. It was priceless. That's the joke of the week, everybody. Joke of the week right there. 1:14. I'm going to write that shit down right now. Hour 14
yes.
in. go ahead, Katie.
Heavy, I'll top it.
Go ahead, Katie.
My keep is the debut of Adrian, Neville, now on Raw. I thought it was...
No, it's Neville.
Neville. Yeah, yeah, she cut herself short.
I'm glad he's finally on the main roster.
Me too.
And I'm excited to see if they do something really good with him.
And he got a win.
Yeah, he got a win over Axelmania.
Well, I mean, you can't not get a win over Axelmania, let alone not an NXT person cannot lose in that fucking crowd.
Do you think
Lucha Dragons is good too?
Yeah, I forgot about Lucha Dragons.
Taking all my keeks.
did you guys like the pyro they used instead of the smoke that he normally used in NXT?
I kind of like the smoke.
Yeah, I like the smoke.
Yeah, I kind of like the smoke.
Gave it a little more mystique. That's why I was like, I was surprised they went with the pirate.
I'm just glad they gave him something rather than nothing.
Loved that Lillian called him the man that gravity forgot.
Me
that
too.
He's going with a superhero gimmick.
I don't care.
And it's a geek one.
I don't care. Exactly. He'll get all the geeks over. He's a geek.
If his theme song said, "Stand back, there's a Neville coming through," I would freak out.
He's a geek. He's a geek. He loves comics. He reads comics all the time. He's a geek. I'm a geek. I'm down for it, man. I don't care. Anything to help him get over and not be that plain guy towards the end of NXT, I am down for it. Please, Neville, do not get plain Jane with me.
There was a joke. I mentioned earlier how I was watching it with Raw with my parents for the first time in a long ass time.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, he could fly with those ears.
Oh, that's fucked up. He's so insecure about those ears.
I thought it was pretty funny because I'd been playing Zelda all weekend.
Katie, what's your next one?
I did two, so.
Oh, you already did two. Okay. Yeah. DRG, what's your keep, tell, us, or improve?
I want to improve the panel by having Katie not take every single freaking NXT person that debuted.
Go ahead.
So I can have a keep.
Go ahead. Do your keep for Lucha Dragons.
I'm smarter and I thought of it faster than you, so suck.
Well, give Katie credit because she didn't go with I like to keep all of Raw because
I love the fact that Katie tells you guys
to
suck it.
Why do you always talk to me about that? Wayne always did that too.
Yeah, but Wayne's not here anymore.
Whatever.
Anyway, seriously, Lucha Dragons, I stopped that part where Kalisto was doing the, he did the head scissors, mm-hmm. went for the front toss up and stood on Cesaro's shoulders, did the backflip, mm-hmm. and then came around and did the double whirly bird arm drag.
Yep.
And I paused it and I made my wife watch it and she goes, okay, that was really cool.
Yeah.
It's something that attracts even casual people because that's why I'm such a fan of cruiserweight style. That style, not necessarily them being small guys that have no weight, but just the style of wrestling. It was really cool to see Lucha Dragons come in and have a crowd that was fully supporting them.
Fully support. I mean, fully support. Everybody in the, it was like the Yes chant, except for it was Lucha.
Exactly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I realized how racist my friends were. I shared the picture of Kalisto and Sin Cara, and I got a text going, I didn't know Rey Mysterio was back.
My dad shouted holy shit like 3 times during that match.
Even Sin Cara was on his game, man.
Mm-hmm. What was awesome, though, is that they were playing him with New Day on the same side, and New Day was getting the New Day sucks. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that shit was split, dude.
Big E's tweet was funny off of that.
What did Big E tweet?
It's like, he said, New Day sucks. All the hopes and something. It was really funny.
Gives back the positive stuff.
There you go. There you go.
Into a whole thing.
Sucks all the negative.
Yeah.
I brought this up in group me last night, but Kofi was the only person in that match that is not an NXT guy.
Yeah,
ooh, that's
true, man. I didn't think about that.
Ascension didn't get booed either, which was pretty cool.
Yeah,
because I wasn't in the audience.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go with let's.
I get my toss.
Oh yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Biohazard, your whole keep of the announce table. I'm gonna trump that and say toss that. You know why? Because dear God, I don't want to ever hear Byron Saxton on freaking commentary again.
Oh, that poor guy. That poor guy. He was so rough.
Down the mood a little bit. Yeah, I would agree there. I wish they would have brought like Corey Graves or Renee Young or somebody out there, but it is what it
that
is.
That poor guy, nothing, no. He needed to learn how to talk louder than freaking Michael Jackson approaching a 6-year-old boy, and it was just annoying. Sorry, I'm getting told that I'm better calm down. Byron Saxton pissed me off so much.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't necessarily like Byron Saxton, but that's... I'd rather have him versus Michael Cole, JBL, and Booker T talking about shucky ducky quack quack and fighting with each other. Like, his tone is what brought it down, but I believe they did it because it was like, oh, damn, they just got their ass whooped. And so he was talking monotone about because he was shocked with the situation.
You know why they did it, Biohazard? I'm going to tell you right now. The reason why they did it is because they looked around and realized that Josh Matthews no longer worked for WWE. And he was the first person that they saw.
I felt really bad for him. I really did feel bad for him. He was doing the best he can. He wasn't really calling the matches. He was kind of a deer in the headlights. I'm glad they brought Jerry. I think him and Jerry actually did really well.
Blew Jerry Lawler from in the jet from Memphis to San Jose within 30 minutes.
They did? No, sarcasm. Shut up.
Sarcasm.
Okay,
much?
Thank you. All right, thank you.
It's like God, Seth Rollins. He was still flying while Raw was on.
Yeah, thank you, Katie. All right, and then my keep tosser improved. My keep, definitely, I always enjoy that crowd. That crowd always gets me every single time. Anytime I have a good ruckus crowd, not a bad ruckus crowd, bad being anytime they chant CM Punk or what, every 5 seconds, bad crowd. Good crowd. The Wave, I thought The Wave was great. Yeah.
I like
I did.
The fact that they played into it. Like Seth Rollins believed they're doing The Wave
yes.
In praise of him. And yeah, the fact that they put it into the story of the match.
He was in the ring following
the
Wave. He was literally turning around because it was a bowl. So he was turning it around to the Wave. He was following the Wave around the arena. I thought it was fantastic. It's the first time I've ever seen them do a Wave in an arena, let alone at a Raw or
it kept going. And
yeah,
like,
where it just
normally
kept
it's
going.
Like twice around and it'll stop, yeah. But it kept going.
Yeah, absolutely. The Divas match needed to improve. And I'm going to say it because she tweeted it, and she pissed me off when she tweeted it because it didn't happen. Charlotte tweeted the fact that she might be on Raw, and it didn't happen, and it made
Sasha
me upset.
Sasha Banks did the same thing.
I know. Yeah. So I'm guessing they were there. They were telling
all
them
the,
they
all
may.
All the NXT talent were there.
They were telling them, we may use you. We don't know yet, and they didn't use her. And I was kind of upset with that. So
with that situation, you had Lucha Dragons debut.
Yeah.
You had
yeah.
Neville debut.
Yeah.
So there's already three guys you just debuted.
Yeah, no,
plus,
I was
there's
yeah,
already a story going on with the Divas.
They didn't really they didn't really debut Sin Cara.
Re-debut.
You're debuting the tag team.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. I agree with that. And
if they
again,
hold
my,
on for a week or 2 weeks, I'd be perfectly fine.
And my main improve was what Heavy said. That last match just drug on for me. It didn't really make any
they
sense.
They should have switched the segments. Had Brock Lesnar come on last.
They should have. But I think they wanted to capture that last 2 hours of watching time. All right, Katie. This is the new WWE Network shows that were announced on. It was announced at WrestleMania, right?
Yes. Okay. I have the page up already.
Go ahead. Give us the list of what we're going to see new on the next okay. WWE Network.
Okay. This first one is coming late 2015. Camp WWE. WWE, in partnership with Seth Green's Stupid Buddy Studios, will debut a new animated short-form comedy series titled Camp WWE. Imagine WWE superstars and divas when they were kids at their favorite summer camp, which happens to be run by Mr. McMahon. Add in shock value, slapstick humor, and social satire, and you have WWE's first adult comedy, which will debut later this year. Thoughts?
I think they're trying to come off the Brickleberry thing from Daniel Tosh.
What?
He has a show on Comedy Central.
I didn't know Seth.
Brickleberry.
Yeah, I didn't know Seth was doing that.
Yeah, okay. I think it's just going to be their version because that's what it was: slapstick humor and crude humor and stuff like that. And it's going to be geared towards adults that like that kind of. Some of it's just stupid. But
I think,
end up watching it.
I think I pretty much like anything from Seth Green. I didn't like the Daniel Tosh Brickleberry, but if it's written by Seth Green, he's a huge WWE fan. I'm down for it. I'll watch it. It's something completely different on the channel that I can watch since they haven't updated Divas in forever.
Do you think they use the actual talent's voices, or they're just going to get other voice actors?
I hope so. I hope they use the talent's voices because.
We all know, like Slam City.
I mean, Seth always used it on Robot Chicken. He always used the talent's voices.
Not all the time.
Yeah, sometimes he didn't.
Okay. All right.
Like there was the one spin where they did Hogan's Heroes, but it was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And they didn't use any of their actual voices.
Hey, Heavy, what do you think about this one? This I think this is the one that you and I were saying we were going to watch, right?
I don't remember ever talking about this. I'd watch a lot of the shows. It's just going to be ready to see.
What they're like.
Because I remember it was last year around this time when, I think it was before WrestleMania, they were talking about all these shows that they were looking into. And it seems like some of these ones are the ones that we're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad we finally get a chance to see the WWE Network, finally get some more channels on there, finally get some more shows on there. It's going to be good, I think. Go ahead, Katie. What's the next one?
All right. Coming in May, Swerve, WWE teams up with the director of Jackass and Bad Grandpa, Jeff Tremaine, to give you the hilarious original series, Swerved. It's a half-hour series and will premiere in May. I think it's basically like Punked.
DRG, anything to say about this?
No. After Can't Kill Yourself by Bam Margera, I don't like that genre of comedy anymore.
After everything that's been gone down, I'm surprised Vince Russo hasn't sued them, because that's totally stealing off his gimmick.
It is?
He's swerved.
Oh, okay. I like Jeff Tremaine. I like Jackass. DRG hates Jackass. He hates
Bad Grandpa was
any
funny.
Of that stuff. I haven't even watched. Is it good? I haven't watched Bad Grandpa yet.
It was hilarious.
So I'm going to have to watch it then.
I hate Jackass.
Hates Jackass.
Now, Jackass 1. All right, pretty funny. 2, all right, this is getting lame. 3, all right, I don't like it anymore.
I liked all of them, every single one of them. I love the TV show. I like all that stuff. That's definitely my humor. I'm going to watch it. Katie, are you going to watch it, Katie?
It was 30 minutes.
Yeah, I watched Jackass. I might be into this, so.
Okay.
Hey, who are they going to get to host it?
I don't know.
It might be different superstars each week.
Yeah, that's a good point. It might be
Seth Rollins.
I was about to say, it's going to be Ambrose. Seth Rollins playing. Yeah, Dean would be a great host for this. He would
that
be.
Would be fun.
He would be like the Dax Shepard, where he's the one doing the prank.
Absolutely. Dean was perfect for this role. All right, go ahead,
Katie. If they do something to Vince, that would be awesome.
They're both, they're not going to do shit to Vince.
They push him in his own pool at his house.
they push him in a wheelchair somewhere weird.
They rig his limousine to explode. Oh, wait.
We already did that. Go ahead, Katie.
All right, coming this fall, the Diva Search. WWE spans the globe in search of the most beautiful, athletic, charismatic women to find the next stunning diva. The competition will give the viewers the opportunity to witness challenges, trials, drama, rewards that accompanied the journey of these women coming this fall.
Go ahead.
Let Jessica Havoc be on this.
Is she signed with TNA?
I heard that she's not signed with TNA anymore.
She said something about TNA this week. Hang on, I'll check what you guys are talking.
Havoc is currently still signed, as far as I know. There's rumors floating around, but last I heard, she signed a 2-year deal last year, so I don't know why there's rumors flying around.
Yeah. So. I don't think WWE would be interested in her. I mean, as much as I like Havoc.
ODB was in it too. It'd be nice if they showed the preliminary stuff like they did with Tough Enough.
As far as it says on her Twitter account, it says change the definition of TNA knockout. I'd say she's pretty much she's at TNA. I would probably say that.
And then there's the people that WWE goes after, like Havoc is not one of them.
I know.
There's one indie talent that I would say would be on the radar, and that's Nikki Storm.
Do you guys think they're going to go with more of the model route?
It might be just the model route. They said it's going to be like America's Next Top Model.
See,
it's
going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be so fucking
hard. But
if
they can find at least a handful of independent wrestlers who look hot, they can pull it off.
I agree. I agree with that.
Like the girl that they signed, Jasmine, I think she could fit that mold.
And I hope Triple H is the one to do this one, but I don't think he's going to be.
Nah. Like a judge or something?
Maybe not a judge, but the person that picks the talents that are up for it.
You think Vince is going to let his son-in-law stare at a bunch of bikini-clad women?
Yes. Touché. He'll be doing it with him.
Damn it.
Touché. He probably will be doing it with him.
It'd be cool if Stephanie was involved.
Yes.
That's a good point. Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't mind Stephanie being involved in it.
I think they need to play it up like Tough Enough, where they show the preliminaries where everybody's doing their interviews and stuff like that. That would be nice.
I just don't have high hopes for this. I wasn't a big fan of the Diva Search back in the day. I'm not a big fan of Diva Search now.
Well, with the Diva Search back in the day, we didn't see anything other than what was played on Raw. It's like, oh, they did this week. We all know it was done millions of days in advance. So it was like,
all right, Kay, what's the next one?
All right, coming April, Jerry Springer presents WWE Too Hot for TV. Hosted by Jerry Springer, this series will reintroduce the WWE universe to the most outrageous stunts, cringe-inducing moments in TV history.
The series will be
chock full of insane situations, racy romps from WWE's past. They're going to have categories with Love Hurts, All in the Family, Weddings, and Funerals.
I have a feeling Undertaker will be involved in most of those.
It'll be a half-hour series and new episodes weekly.
So what you're telling me is that WWE Network is becoming true TV.
Yeah, but with wrestling.
Yeah, but Jerry Springer hosting the most outrageous moments, that's... Yeah, I get that it's in wrestling, but that's their. It sounds like the way that they're building it is off of True TV's entire block of entertainment.
They're going to really use that parental guidance thing now.
Yep.
Now that everybody's gotten used to it.
That's exactly what they're going to be doing.
I had to change my Xbox settings on that one because I think when I got the one, it blocked a lot of that content and I had to allow it.
Did
to
you
be able
really?
To watch. Yeah, it blocked. Most of the Extreme Rules stuff, anything about the Monday Night Wars. So I had to go in and edit what content I was allowed to see.
Yeah, no, my settings are fine. I can already tell you, all my Monday Night Wars stuff is good.
My 360 allowed it, but the one, you had to go in and edit those settings from the one, not from WWE.
I think it's on my profile. I think my profile is locked in, so it's good. Heavy Sam, what do you think about Jerry Springer?
This is one that I have to see some before I say something about it, because I feel like this could be like really awesome, but then again, I want to see how far and how deep they go.
I think it's just going to be a clip show, right? I mean...
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about what they're going to show.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
When I think too high for TV, I think some of the stuff... I think of a lot of the DVDs that used to come out in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. This is too high for TV. Yeah, call this number now.
Yeah,
I'm thinking,
yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, but are they going that route?
Faces of Death,
showing her boobs.
Triple H,
or the live sex celebration unedited where Lita's boobs are hanging out.
I did say boobs twice.
I do want to talk about this real quick. Katie, that's it, right? That's all we got?
No, there's a couple more.
Oh,
there's
wow. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a
I'm
lot
sorry.
Coming out, yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah. All right. Next one, Live with Chris Jericho debuts Monday, April 6th with special guest John Cena. Chris Jericho challenges guests in provocative, candid conversations. It'll be a monthly series, and the first episode's next week with John Cena after Raw.
It's going to be the Talk is Jericho.
So it's actually
on the WWE Network.
It's actually a series. They're calling this not the live podcast that Stone Cold does.
He's calling it Live with Chris Jericho, but wow. I don't know. He might put it on podcast form as well.
Yeah, like they're doing it on Mondays. Yeah. It'll probably end up being on his Wednesday show.
It'll. I can guarantee in the contract it'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll do this if you let me drop this. My podcast.
Oh yeah, so same with Austin, but yeah. I think it's like for this first one, it's the right guest, the wrong host.
You think so?
It should have been Stone Cold for this one.
Stone Cold, like for having these, like, all right, these, we're gonna have this wrestler on here. Oh, it's gonna be edgy. You want Austin on the other end?
Yeah, it is.
I don't think you want Jericho. Yeah, if Jericho is his normal self of good cowbell and all that shit, fuck that. Like, he's one guy that I can, like, of his podcast, I can't stand much.
I like his interviews. I do. I like his interviews. That's the only thing I like about his show is his interviews.
The difference is Chris Jericho might bring up rumors every now and then, but Stone Cold's like,
Stone Cold
you,
is,
we're getting to
yeah,
it right now.
I will say that Stone Cold goes for the jugular. He does not give a fuck. He doesn't care. Yeah, ever since he mentioned that fucking Cena not wrapping that STFU up tight, I've been looking at it hardcore. It's like when Heavy mentioned somebody else about somebody else. But anyway, he ruined it for me.
The difference, though, is that Chris Jericho is that more, what's the best way to say it? Dana Sawyer or whatever her name was, versus Steve Austin being the Barbara Walters. One of them is that go for the jugular type question asker, and the other one is a more here's some softballs that'll lead you in and we'll carry this interview to get to a certain goal.
Okay.
But that's not Austin's style. That is Jericho's style. That's why it fits for him to have the talk show.
I'll go with that. Katie.
The next one is Unfiltered with Renee Young debuting in May.
Hmm.
Renee Young interviews superstars and other pop culture celebrities covering just about everything except what they're famous for. In this short-form series, Renee's guests include Wiz Khalifa, Skyler Gray, and Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins. It's debuting in May.
I don't care about Wiz Khalifa, and I don't care about Skyler Gray, but I'll watch the Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins one.
Superstars one.
Yeah. I don't,
black
I mean,
and
I
yellow,
just...
Black and yellow, black and yellow.
I know. It's just like, why are we... It's the WWE Network. You're not going to pull any fans from Wiz Khalifa and Skyler Gray to join the WWE Network for $9.99 a month.
Just what's premiering, so...
You got to look at it from the other way around.
Okay.
People who are fans of that, who are... Also, watching the WWE Network, they're going to want to check that out. You're going to want to get this.
I can't help it. Every time Heavy pauses, I hear Zool in the background snoring. I can't.
She's so...
I think Heavy's right on the money.
Shut the fuck up.
Every time he pauses for a second. I can hear her in the back. It's the cutest little thing I've ever heard in my life. She just, like, I guess she's just used to you running your mouth. She doesn't even wake up anymore.
She sleeps while I'm driving. I'm talking like bumpy roads and everything. She just...
Oh, I'm like crying over here. I'm laughing so hard at this dog snoring. Anyway, anything else, Katie?
Yeah, a couple more. All right. This one's premiering in June. It's called Culture Shock with Corey Graves. Corey Graves reveals a variety of unique venues, customs, music, food, and people as WWE tour travels around the world from Marvel's comic headquarters to a tattoo shop on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Graves examines the local culture with his unique perspective and style, premiering in June.
That is cool. I like that.
That was the one that I was looking forward to whenever I was reading through the list.
Yes.
That was the one that I said, okay, I would watch that.
Yes. That's cool. I watch the Travel Channel all the time because of those cool shows like that. You too, DRG, right?
Yep, me too.
Yeah, I watch Bizarre Foods, all that stuff. That any type of foodie stuff or any time getting in
Bourdain.
The cult. Yeah. Anthony Bourdain knows No Reservations. Love that show. Although I can't watch it anymore because it reminds me of X. But anyway,
the only one of those shows I could really watch was Man vs. Food.
Yeah, man, but that's another good one though. Heavy.
They need to do Ryback and do that.
Ryback versus Adam.
Ryback versus all the food in the city.
You would just call it Feed Me More.
Yeah, just Feed Me More. Yeah. That's a really good show. I'm really looking forward to that show.
All right, a couple more. Coming in June is the WWE The List. I think it's basically like Countdown. It's The List. They're going to put Outrageous Things, Best Worst Bizarre Moments. That's coming in June. And there's going to be new episodes of 24, Countdown, Rivalries. Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling is going to be on the network.
Wow, really?
Cartoon from the 80s. That looks fun. There's a new special premiering April 27th, Floyd Mayweather versus The Big Show, The Biggest versus The Best.
Okay.
So it's going to be like a documentary. And NXT TakeOver Live airing monthly on Wednesdays.
Oh, really?
That one actually got shut down.
Really?
It was a mistake WWE made saying that it was monthly. It's not going to be monthly.
It's quarterly, isn't it?
That you have to pull up the article.
It's going to be quarterly. I guarantee it's going to be quarterly.
It's either quarterly. I wouldn't mind if they did it every other month, but
nah.
Yeah, six or four is a perfect number.
Yeah, every month is way too many.
Are they going to start naming them different things besides TakeOver this, TakeOver that?
No, I think they're just going to name it TakeOver.
TakeOver stands for NXT Pay-Per-View Presents. It's like NXT
TakeOver. I'm with Heavy Seth. They should name it after WCW Pay-Per-Views.
Well, no, I like
Fall,
the
Fall
fact.
Brawl, Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, exactly.
Slamboree.
Exactly.
Super Brawl.
NXT Super Brawl.
December to December. Oh, wrong show.
Oh, yeah, wrong show. Go ahead, DRG.
I like the fact that the TakeOver, sticking with that, is kind of reminiscent to the Clash of the Champions specials, to where they would add on to it.
Or in your house, stuff like that.
Yeah, kind of, but I don't know. I don't like the ones that they've come up with so far. Like, I did like the rival, but I didn't like how it was a rival to rival.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't figure out whether is it a rival or is it rival.
Yeah. I didn't like the R Revolution.
They should have called it Revolution.
They should have just called it Revolution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
NXT TakeOver, Genesis, Turning Point, Slammiversary. No Surrender.
Anything else, Katie?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff here. I'm looking forward to most of it.
Yeah, I want to learn more about...
If they went hard...
The Culture Shock looks fun.
I want to learn more about Corey Graves and the scene he's in. I think that'd be really cool.
Culture Shock. I like the name of it.
I like it too.
It's not just Corey Graves, though. They're going to be following different people throughout the cities that they're traveling in. Like, Corey Graves is going to host it, but you could also incorporate somebody that's, like, a really big I would say Hispanic community, but you ended up getting rid of Rey Mysterio. But say Sin Cara and Kalisto go to their favorite Mexican restaurant in New York, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's not racist at all.
They're in there eating nachos and Wait. Sin Cara can't eat nachos and stuff. He's got the mouth cover.
So, yeah. All right, let's go
if they showed him fucking trying to eat a burrito with his mask on, I think I would fucking die.
Like Shark Boy with the freaking donuts.
Okay. Oh, all right. Let's go. Hilarious. Let's go into the. Let's shut up. Let's go into the emails.
I hate you.
Okay,
Blake.
Double A here.
Hate Double A.
Hi, boys.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Since Vamp doesn't like the birthday song on the show, I'm going original. I'm making my call to wish happy birthday to my favorite heel. We have all heard him scarf down a large pizza in one meal. He knows and points out all the female wrestlers hot and not. He loves to point out he went on a date with Veda Scott. He roots for a great team from a town that is windy. He prefers to watch wrestling from a local indie. You can find him in his truck sleeping next to Zool's. Even though he gets under your and my skin, I think he rules. If you hear heavy breathing, it's not him, it's his pup. Happy birthday, I'm done. So grab your stick and heat up. That's it, I'm done. Just want to say I love your guys' podcast. I love messing around with you guys. And I'm all done for this week, and that has been my niggle.
That was amazing.
That was good, Andy. That was really good, Andy.
Very, very good, Andy.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Heavy.
Happy birthday.
Hey, DRG. DRG, don't.
Happy birthday.
You are going to be paying the 30 grand, motherfucker. They catch me. I'm telling you right now.
Vamp the fool.
I will sue your ass for the 30 grand.
Sing it like John Cena. Happy birthday.
Anyway, that was awesome. That was awesome, Andy.
Did you get the other one he sent?
He sent another one?
He sent it to me, and
let me check.
Hold on. I'll forward it to you.
All right, please just forward
it. I think I still have it.
Yeah, forward to my other account.
Which is?
The DV account.
Okay.
Andy, my hat's off to you, buddy. That was really good. Not as good as,
I wonder,
you know,
how long it took
write all that Ant's down. Creepy ass fucking song to Katie, but you know, we can't all.
Hey,
that
Katie!
That was so creepy.
Was sweet, though.
It wasn't sweet. It was the creepiest thing I ever heard in my life.
You didn't have to edit that fucking episode because
I
had.
You
didn't have to edit that episode because I had to listen to it probably about 5 or 6 times while trying to edit shit together, so fuck you.
But for real, that was pretty damn creepy, Ant.
Yeah, it was creepy, Ant. For real.
You gave off the DDP on Taker's wife vibe.
Yeah. Well, we're waiting on Heavy Set to email me something. Do you guys want to? Would they be a better? I'm gonna go ahead and just put our fucking on our all of our news on Front Street. Do you guys want to change the date of the WrestleCast?
So when?
I don't know. The day is not working out for a couple people, and
do it on Sunday. That way, you know how it feels to try to record something when it's a week away from the last time that you saw TNA.
Oh my god! Yeah, because
you know,
by the time we get to WrestleCast, I pretty much forgot Lucha Underground. And
that's right. Mark Hamill was on the Flash today. Forgot about that. That's why.
Oh, anyways, we're talking Lucha Underground, not Mark Hamill. Sorry. Fuck Mark Hamill.
Hey,
Lucha Underground. I'm sold on the show.
Skywalker.
How awesome was that freaking dive by Angelico from one corner turnbuckle over to the other turnbuckle over the ring post and out to the floor in a tope?
That was insane. Please. And that was the first match on the card.
I know.
Sending.
It was awesome.
Please send me that email.
Dude, he jumped.
Oh, that one. Oh, fuck you, Heavy.
Play it. It's funny. Fucking play it.
God damn it, Heavy.
I guess I need to be on the detour.
You guys need to be on the detour together. That's fine. Here we go. This is actually pretty funny. New news. Hey, Maria Menounos.
Menounos. Maria
Menounos. Menounos. She's pretty skinny.
Maria Menounos. I am Devil Vamp Collie.
Thank you, Andy. That made me smile after all the bullshit DRG's talked tonight.
That was amazing.
That was more creative than what he did for me when I heard that. Like, that's just fucking awesome.
Hey guys, let's go to the best of the week. Heavy Set, best of the week.
Okay, my best of the week is something that I seen on Twitter after WrestleMania, and it's fucking hilarious. Blue Kazoo
was tweeting about her reaction of Seth Rollins cashing in, and she referred to him as Mr. Weenie Pants.
Mr. Weenie Pants?
Mr.
Well, you're the best.
How old's Mr. your niece?
She's like what?
22, 21?
Yeah, 20.
She can't say penis or...
She'll be 19 this year.
19. She can't say penis or dingling or dong or dick or...
Weenie Pants.
Well, you should have seen... Wait. You should have seen her other tweets. She was cursing up a storm. And after all that, that's the best she came up with. I mean, that's just how she is.
I don't know. She never tweets or emails us, so how would I know?
Ooh. Weenie Pants is funny. I don't care. You couldn't do a penis joke in this one. Weenie Pants was hilarious.
Bio's marking that's a weenie.
It was great.
Bio, best of the week. I like that, Heavy. That was a good best of the week.
My best of the week is going to bring us all down. Just the Connor induction into the Hall of Fame. Right at the end when his brother said, "I love you, Connor." It was like the final send-off for his brother to tell Connor that he loved him. And to me, that was more special than the crowd at Mania and the crowd on Raw and the matches overall. Just that moment, it tore me up.
Okay, that's a good one. I like that one. I won't go into my personal life, but that's a really good one, Bo. That's a good one. Kay, the first lady.
Okay, honorable mention goes to Sting being at WrestleMania. I mean, regardless of how we felt about the match, it was just cool that he's finally at a WrestleMania. But okay. My real best of the week is Brock Lesnar being a total badass from WrestleMania on Raw. And now that he's, quote, suspended, which I think he might be gone to SummerSlam.
Of course he will be.
Yeah, but he was just the full-on badass there.
He was.
At both shows, and yep. I can't wait till he comes back.
Bleeding the hard way on the turnbuckle?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They said it might have been bleeding, and somebody said that they saw the referee hand Roman Reigns a blade so they could he could pass it to Brock so he could cut himself.
I have to watch it again. Shank him. It was pretty quick, man.
No, that was the ref saying, look, this is the only way that you're going to survive this match.
Yeah. Cut this motherfucker. Gut this bitch.
Some people were defending it in a sense of if you watch the footage, the referee puts his hand inside Roman's hand, and then once he takes his hand away, Roman's hand is clenched.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were defending it, saying that was the ref checking on Roman, and if Roman squeezes, the ref knows that he's okay.
That's how they check. Yeah, exactly. DRG, best of the week, man.
The only way to survive Suplex City, bitch, is to shank a motherfucker.
Shank this bitch.
I just want to throw it here, too. Did anybody hear the news or rumor that whenever Seth Rollins pinned Roman Reigns, he, like, thanked him?
He's like, thank you. Thank you for this. Yeah.
I actually listened to it, and I think he might have did.
You did? You looked at the match, so. Katie?
If you look when he's pinning him, he's like, I mean, granted, he's like bobbing his head up and down and kind of being frantic, but there's that one point he kind of like buries his head right where Roman Reigns is for just a brief second. And then like pops it back up.
Wow.
Like he was saying something to him.
That's cool, man. That's really cool of a champion. That's pretty cool, dude. I'm just saying. That's a cool guy.
The fact great that he agreed well. With it. Yeah. Yeah.
He might cheat on his girlfriend, but I mean his fiance, but that's really cool. Just saying.
He might be a dick, but some of us here, maybe not all of us, has seen the dick of the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
That's true. That's true. I have not. Thank fucking God I have not. DRG. DRG.
That was a short time.
Well, Vamp, you did see the dick of...
I'm surprised he didn't hit Roman with a small package.
Don't get him started. Package. He'll talk about that for 2 days. Fucking hell, Heavy.
Good thing you won't see me tomorrow.
DRG, best of the week. He's going to be laughing about that for 2 days.
Vamp, you did see a champion's dick pic whenever HBK posed for Playgirl, but that's a different story.
I didn't see that.
Yes, you did. Don't you lie.
I wasn't even old enough.
Yeah, you were.
Go ahead. My
best of the week is Lucha Underground because it was so much better than WrestleMania.
I no. wouldn't say that, but it was.
You no. can tweet DRG at Mr. _ DRG on Twitter.
Hold on. Okay, Finn.
Yeah, thank you, Finn.
You are worse than the fucking Rock when it comes to elaborately coming up with creative things to say that are not.
Ah, that's really funny. Actually, I really like that one.
Wait a minute, is it DRG or SCU?
I had an opinion. Right before I started this podcast, I had a feeling that DRG's best of the week was going to be like Lucha because it beat WrestleMania.
It's not my best of the week.
Okay, I know. You were just kidding. I know.
It's TNA.
Shut the fuck up. All right. Anyways, my best of the week is.
I love you. you.
Fact, I do. I love you. The fact that NXT stars came up and shined on Raw at the perfect time because my detour this week touched on NXT, and my competition call for the AWWIR tomorrow includes NXT. This is the perfect week for it to happen. And then Seth Rollins, the first NXT champion, walking away as the freaking heavyweight champion. That's just perfect. This whole week was amazing. It was just really cool.
Awesome. Awesome. It was a really good week of wrestling in general, I have to say. I even watched some TNA this week.
What? There was stuff hold on. Did hell freeze over?
Well, there's no such thing as hell, but yeah, I did watch some TNA this week.
I think it got a little cold.
Hold on. It's just an expression, you know, just like
yes,
when you say,
I know.
Jesus Christ.
And, oh my God. Yes, I know. Yes, I know she's a person. I did watch some TNA. We're not talking about a DRG. We're not talking about it.
Well, shit, this is my best of the week is the fact that you watch TNA. What is it?
Oh. I watched some TNA this week because I finally realized that I do have Destination America on my thing. It fucking showed up unbelievable.
You know how many times I sent you the freaking Channel Finder link?
No. I don't think you ever did send me the channel.
See, I missed.
I did.
I got all the way up to the main event, and then the feed cut off. That's the only match of TNA that I haven't seen was the main event.
I didn't watch the beginning part. I watched the middle part where Kurt Angle came out. He was in the middle of the ring, and then were they still in Britain at that point?
No, they were back at the Impact Zone in Florida.
I was still looking. I was looking for Aiden Wayne the whole time in the audience. That's why I was watching it. I was watching up to the point where it felt like 25 people came out and challenged Kurt Angle for his World Heavyweight Championship. It was like, I was like, this is a lot of people that want this fucking title, man. It looked entertaining. Again, I won't go back on DRG. If you guys want to go back to DRG and I's timeline, you're more than welcome to on Twitter. We had a nice conversation on Twitter that ended in very
bad. I apologize.
Ended very badly.
Apologize for that.
You don't have to apologize. You're fine. No,
I'm going to apologize and explain the fact that my little sister is psychotic and I was having emotional problems with my family at the moment.
Okay. All right. My best of the week, honestly, the WWE Network.
Is getting DRG to apologize to you.
You know
that
what?
Rarely happens.
That's a good fucking point, Heavy Set. My best of the week is getting DRG to apologize to me. Moving on. Moving on.
How rare that is.
This is DRG it, guys. The conversation continues on www.dsjnp.com. Please come and find us there. You have lots of blogs. I just blogged about me almost burning down my entire apartment complex the other day. If you want to check it out, go ahead and check it out. Send the Devil Vamp blog. Please, fucking Christ, please rate us on iTunes. We need some ratings, guys. Follow us at DSJNPCOM on Twitter. Keep in contact. Heavy Set, where you at?
I'm in a hotel in Caseyville, Illinois.
Come on, promote a podcast. Do something.
Ohio Indie Report at Ohio Report.
There you go. All right. Biohazard.
Rules.
Biohazard, where you at?
This is for Andy, since he keeps getting it wrong. It's at the Biohazard King. THEBIOHZRDKING. Andy, please spell correctly for once.
Oh man, you should read his emails, dog. That is not gonna happen. Katie the First Lady, where are you at?
At Katie First Lady. Can I just say I'm glad I made it to my first WrestleMania podcast with you guys?
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, wait. You're talking about this one? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This is my first one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. This is almost our year. This is almost like our year of broadcasting, essentially.
I think I've been... When did I start the show?
It was early, Heavy. It was early. It's right after...
Well, it was past Mania.
Yeah, it was past Mania. It's coming close.
Might
be right after Extreme Rules, maybe. Anyway, I'll go back and check.
Wait a minute, I think me and you are the only ones left from that show. That episode.
Probably. Yeah.
Wayne's not here, and the other two haven't been on for a long time.
Yeah, I think it was my brother and a friend of my brother's, I think it was, right?
No.
Chevy and Rocky Mountain High. Yeah. Chevy quit because he doesn't like me. And Rocky Mountain High.
Apparently, I'm the younger, more better looking version of Chevy. Anyway.
Wow. I would agree with that. Actually, he's like 400 pounds or some shit. Biohazard, where you at? I mean, DRG, where are you at?
I'm at my house.
I am not at Biohazard King's house. Do not say that, you blessed with fucker. You can find me at MRDRG_WIR, writing articles that are being posted on three separate websites and a podcast on the DSJNP network called DDRG's Detour, and holding on to my WIR Pure Championship and competition this week, and sitting on this podcast with all of you lovely fucks.
Absolutely. And that was your WrestleCast this week. It's a pleasant net to go out on. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. New news. New news. New news. New news. New news. New news. Hey, Maria Menounos. Menounos. Menounos.
Menounos.
Menounos.
Maria Menounos.
Menounos. She's pretty
skinny. Maria Menounos. I am Devil Vamp.